listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
About something positive. It's a nice warm day. Try to enjoy it a little bit if we can. All right. Hope the craziness ends soon. It's Carmen and Yurko. We're live up on Twitch. Twitch.tv. Search ESPN 1000. Chicago. There's also a space rock headed our way that NASA is.
Oh, a space rock?
Monitoring.
Wonderful.
Somebody tweeted, some good news.
What were the bumblebees that were supposed to get us?
No, not the bumblebees.
The murder hornets. Yeah, what happened to him?
I don't know. I hope they're all gone.
I saw a praying mantis chew one of those to bits.
Well, good. Let's bring in some more praying mantises.
Is that
a praying manti?
Multiple might be, Carm. I wouldn't know.
Do you know how important the bee population is to our ecosystem because of the pollination.
That's
you
what
know,
they like, do.
Oh my God!
I got three tomato plants up and running.
Yeah. So far, so good. Good start.
Take a photo for you, man.
Send it to me when you get home.
My fig tree. You should see this
fig tree of mine. You've got a fig tree in your backyard.
Doesn't everybody?
My grandpa used to.
Oh, that thing gave me 50 figs last year.
It's beautiful.
You know how good a fig is?
I love it. Forget it. I love it.
Man alive.
Throw it on the grill.
Good. Oh. Yeah. Throw it on the grill. How about I just pull it off the tree and down it, man?
Well, that too. But I mean, grill it with
a fig. What kind of animal are you?
I'm telling you.
It's a fruit.
Slice it.
Who fries fruit?
Not fry, grill.
Grill fruit.
Slice it. Brush a little honey or a little balsamic vinegar is even better, a little tang with it.
A little bit of both,
and just grill it for 30 seconds. Oh, my God. Starts to caramelize. Oh, it's delicious. NASA's tracking a giant asteroid which may be taller than the Empire State Building. The Space Administration has dubbed the rock 163348.
Ellie. Extinction level event.
It's expected to rocket by Earth on Saturday, June 6th.
Nice.
It is classed the asteroid as an A-tent asteroid, which is a space rock following a wide orbit around the sun. Scientists do not think that it will collide with Earth, but it will be close enough, within 5 million miles, and they deem that in space terms.
Yeah, in space terms, that's close.
5 million miles is a long way, but that's close.
Will we be able to see it with the naked eye?
I was trying to find that out. I did not see anything in this story about that, but they're tracking it just to be safe, but they do not think it will come in contact with us this weekend. Let's certainly hope not. It's speeding by. It'll go speeding by at a...
How fast?
Approximate speed of 11,000 miles per hour.
Oh, up in that big blue sky, it'll look like it's crawling along.
That's right. That thing is going to whiz by.
Beautiful.
Let's go to Jeremiah in Plainfield on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hey, what's going on, Carmen and Yurko?
What's up, man?
All right, Jeremiah.
Hey, I have a quick comment about the Knicks and James Dolan specifically.
Okay.
Absolutely. After all the racial tension, confrontations, and allegations that's been dangling with this franchise, with James Dolan being accused of being the same type of guy as Donald Sterling and former employees and even NBA players saying that he has a slave mentality and all these strange altercations with Charles Oakley and Spike Lee, he should have been the first person to come out and make a statement about what's going on today. I've always been taught that you pay attention to what people are not saying just as much as you pay attention to what they are. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Jeremiah. And I guess the other side, like I said, the one point some people are making, or even to Jeremiah's point, if we believe certain things about him, would that statement ease your pain at all? Would you even believe it? But maybe he should have done it just for the simple fact that they have...
Do you believe what the NFL came out with? After how they treated Colin Kaepernick?
No.
So do you believe anything that the NFL says? They threw money into the pie, but do you believe what the NFL says?
No, not really. And I think they've blackballed him, to be honest. I think it's terrible. I got to say, I mean, like, what Colin Kaepernick did, whether you agree or not,
right.
And I would never, me personally, I would never want to disrespect the flag. I would never do something like that, but that this guy took a knee.
Right.
And it's like when you see what's going on now, like, whatever you think of Colin Kaepernick, like, he was just protesting something he believed was real. And we know it is real. I mean, it exists out there.
Here's the question. I'm not telling you it's right. I'm not telling you it's wrong. I'm going to tell you the one thing I know from my experiences being in the NFL. Okay? If you go against the NFL machine.
What's the machine in this case? The league itself, the monolith that is the league?
If you go against the league, okay, you go against the league eventually is going to swallow you up and spit you out.
Isn't that terrible?
That's the way, it's the way it's been. And it, maybe not early in its days when it was trying to find a way to be successful and trying to get, but now that it's become the monster that it's become.
So any amount of friction or rock the boat or you're going against some.
Any number of individuals that have kind of gone up against that have found themselves on the outside looking in sometimes. Okay? That's the way the NFL. If you don't want to play the game the way they want it played, and you want to rock the boat a little bit too much.
I think it's a shame, man. I hear what you're saying. I just think it's a shame. I think the guy took a knee. I mean, he was trying to protest something very peacefully. I know.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm telling you how the NFL operates.
I know. I think it's terrible. I got to be honest.
And there's probably 100 stories of guys that have fought the NFL, thought they were right,
yeah,
and ended up on the outside looking in.
I've said it many times over the years since that all started either. You know, how dare you disrespect the flag? I did. You're not supposed to always like protests, but he did it in the way that you are supposed to protest, right? Peacefully, with a big platform to say, hey, I think there are great social injustices out there, and I want to bring them to the forefront. I'd like to enlighten people more. It is the beautiful part of our country, and people couldn't accept that for whatever reason. I shouldn't say for whatever reason. I mean, I know the reason, but it's like open up your mind a little bit.
Here's a lesson to be learned, you know, whether it's in advertising or anything else that's out there. If you've got a message, your message better be crystal clear. Because people will want to muddle the message for you.
Well, and I think a lot of players did that.
They'll want to go ahead and throw shade on it. And they'll want to do this and they'll want to do that. And then all of a sudden, whatever you thought you were doing is suddenly redefined. And then you get caught up in the fray.
Yeah.
So whether Colin Kaepernick did or didn't, at some point, he reached an agreement with the league after suing the league, right?
Yes.
What did I say happened after that? The minute you go after the league... And now you settle with the league.
Right.
Your days in the league are done. Okay? And if in the process of going after the league, he didn't realize that once he settled, that he was never going to be a part of the NFL again. Okay? That's the way it works.
I think it's terrible.
That's the way it works. And I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. I've seen the behemoth from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen what it could do. Okay, and in this case, that's what happened. All I'm giving you,
like you said,
is a crystal clear picture of what ended up happening.
Chews you up and spits you out, right?
And now is Nike going to choose somebody else or are they going to choose the NFL?
Well, he's got to deal with Nike,
he
right?
He does. Yeah. He does. But my point is, if you got to make a choice, guess what? It's the way it works.
Isn't that shameful? Man. Jay is in the city. What's up, Jay? Jay, you there? Going once.
All right, Jay.
Going twice, Jay. It sounds like he's there somewhere, but okay, we will move on. Let's go to Chris on the south side. Hold on. Merck's directing me here. Thank you, Merck. Where am I going next? Colin? Colin in Edgewater. What's up, Colin?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
Eric,
Colin?
Man, that's I'm a huge fan, but however, that's your issue, Yurko, is you're not saying that it's right or it's wrong, and it's either right or wrong. This is the problem with the disposition that you have about all of this. And Harding, you guys' favorite caller, I mean, he couldn't have been more off. I mean, the guy does have a seat. The guy has a seat at the table, like you said, but there are two or three other pastors there. If he didn't get up and get out and make racism, which is nowadays sophisticated and hidden, if he didn't make that known to the public, we would have never heard about it. You don't hear anything about the other pastors or anybody else at the meeting having alluded to the comment that he made. That is an offensive comment to black people. And Ricketts
He could have still made the statement but decided to stay and continue the dialogue in the meeting. He could have still revealed that afterwards.
But that's coming from a middle-aged white man. There are some people who take that comment very offensive.
I can't imagine. But Harding's not a middle-aged white man. No.
Guys, all I'm saying is nobody. You don't hear anybody else from that meeting having mentioned that the mayor made that comment. Guys, he's the one that left is the only one that made it public. Ricketts should sell the Cubs because if you're the CEO of a company and your father's known to the public for having said something racial, and then your brother comes out and does the same thing, that CEO is fired. I'll listen for the rest of the time.
All right. I can't agree with that, Colin. We'll agree to disagree on that specific point, but that again, we're having the same discussions now with the Ricketts family that we've had a prior more than once, but the most recent one was when Joe Ricketts' emails were uncovered. There seems to be within a portion of that family some ideas and some notions that are very antiquated, and I just don't know. Like Yurko and I said this, we could say it over and over again. Like, to me, you can still be your own man. You can be a totally separate, enlightened, different person than anybody else in your family. And if you don't think that's true, I don't know how to convince you that that's possible, but I promise you that's real. You know, to think that just because you're related to someone who does something awful, that you are also awful, or that you think the same way, or deep down you believe the same things, to me, that is simply not true. I could be very wrong about that. You could present to me data from clinical psychologists and behavioral economists and things like that that say, no, here's all the data and here's all the research. Go ahead and send it to me. I'd be happy to try to educate myself a little bit more. But I do not believe that because one person says it, everybody in their family, or even multiple people within a family, that means that the trickle down happens all the way through. Like, do we believe Laura Ricketts is the exact same way? Or are her and Tom the outliers in the family? Is that possible?
Well, listen, her and Tom are politically on opposite sides anyway. They sit down at the same table, and they still talk, and it doesn't make them enemies. All it does is make them on opposite sides of the table, like, when it comes to their politics.
Could they be the outliers in the family? Right. Like, is that are you telling me that that is totally impossible? 312-332-3776. We'll grab more of the calls coming up here from the Cubs fans' perspective, too, and how they're viewing this, and if they're upset again, if they question, buying tickets, supporting the Cubs because of some of the things that the family has said in the past. I mean, Tom Ricketts has avoided these controversies. Maybe he truly is different. Isn't that possible? But the brother, the father, not as much. So we'll grab some more of those calls coming up. I see a lot of them up on the screen.
And Carm, Mitch Trubisky has made his first Instagram post in 6 months, so we'll read that coming back.
Okay.
As well.
All right. Well, Merkin, thank you.
Can't wait for that.
We'll read it next.
Something special.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, Malika Andrews from ESPN.com. We'll talk NBA with her. Knicks' failure to make a statement and then their subsequent explanation as to why they decided to not. Tell us about the Mitch Trubisky tweet real quick, Merk. I'm sorry, it's not a tweet. It was an Instagram post, correct?
It was. Sorry, Carmen. I was getting to my mic. Right, so this was made today. Throughout my life, I've been blessed to share the field and locker room with countless black men. These men and teammates have become family to me. Although I could never understand what they have to experience, I empathize with them and love them like brothers. I stand with my brothers and sisters in the fight against racial injustices. We need to do more. We must do better. Posts, tweets, and statements aren't enough. We need to take action. We must take the steps together to make systematic changes to prevent these evil acts from occurring. Love is stronger than hate. Peace and unity will overcome violence. Black lives matter.
Hey, that's the best thing Mitch has done in a while, huh? All right. Now take some action.
In every year since he's been here.
Let's do it. By the way, there's another protest that has been planned. It will start at Wrigley Field, and you wonder if
what
that's
time?
Not just by coincidence. 2 o'clock today. Tom Tunney, I guess, sent out a tweet. Yes. Yeah, so coming up here in the next 40 minutes, and the protesters will march south on Clark Street starting at Wrigley Field.
The alderman retweeted that, or the alderman said that?
I saw Adam Abdallah from the Waddle and Sylvie show. I saw it on his Twitter timeline, Southport Corridor, Chicago. He retweeted something they tweeted, and it said, please read this important announcement from @Alderman Tom Tunney. So, yeah, I think the city, the Chicago City Clerk has confirmed residents. I don't know. Yeah, I could go back and probably look through the timeline, but apparently he started letting residents know that there is a 2 o'clock protest plan that will start at Wrigley Field and then march south down Clark Street. Where am I going next, Merck? To Chris on the south side? All right, let's say hello. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000.
Good afternoon, fellas. God bless.
What's up, Chris?
This was in regards to the pastor comment.
Yep.
Okay, so first of all, I've been telling everybody, it's like society's been poking a bear. First we start off with the young lady in Indiana, then the Aubrey situation and the Amy Cooper, and then we have Mr. Floyd. African-American community is very sensitive right now. And I do believe that the pastor needed to act, because all of those pastors at the table just might have not been there for the cause. They might have been happy to be sitting with the mayor. And his reaction, from what I hear, sounds like an honest reaction. A reaction that probably most people in the streets probably would have had if they heard you people. Mm-hmm. You people has been offensive for a long time. And in fact, you brought up Tropic Thunder. I didn't know Tropic Thunder was a parody when I went to see it, and I saw what I saw. I walked out of Tropic Thunder.
Oh, did you?
Like what the hell am I watching? Now, granted, now that I know, it's a little hilarious, but
Robert Downey Jr. was in blackface the whole movie.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it started off with this, like, fake commercial, the bomb commercial.
Yes.
And yeah,
yes.
That killed me.
Yeah.
I walked out. So
okay.
Understand that. But in the end, though, I do think the pastor was sincere with his feelings by walking out, because he had to let it be known that this is offensive. And, that's all
Chris,
I want to say.
Thanks, buddy.
Chris,
I mean, we got contradicting opinions. That's fine. A lot of this started because what our buddy Harding had said, but Chris and Colin, our last couple of callers, disagreed, thought that the pastor was well within his right, and maybe that is the more powerful statement to get up and walk out. B's in Chicago on ESPN 1000. Hey, B.
Hey, what's happening, you guys?
What's up?
And,
Hold on, B, you
B,
there?
B, where you at? Turn that radio
Hello?
Down.
Hello,
turn the radio
there?
Down.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
It's just that the sirens are going by. I'm on B from the south side. Okay, this is the thing, man. Sports is one of the best examples to break down what's the problem in this country, okay? How many black owners are there in the NFL?
In the NFL?
I'm going through all the teams, and if I had to guess,
I don't know.
I'm guessing zero.
In the history
zero.
Of the NFL,
zero.
How many black owners have there been?
Is it zero?
Zero owners. How many? Okay.
Zero primary owners for the NFL team.
But when America watches the sport that we all love, those are largely funded by the sponsor. How many black sponsors on any commercial when we watch football are there?
Well, what do you mean black sponsors? I mean CEOs?
I'm talking about any of those owners of any of those
companies,
products on those commercials. Come on now, man. We're in the media.
That I don't know.
You know
well,
what I
listen,
mean.
I don't. I understand what you're saying. What we want is clarity from what you were saying. That's all. So you're saying there's
saying
no black CEOs of any of these commercials that are being put out there of the corporations that are advertising in major sports?
Any of them.
Sure? Are you sure about that?
All right. Okay, and then that's what I'm saying, man. That's racism. Okay, let me ask you this. What did Europe have before the 1500s?
What did
they have to trade? How much wealth did they have?
Certain parts of it had considerable.
Europe did not get its come up until they started the Atlantic slave trade. Okay? And it wasn't just the brute force of Africans. It was the science. It was the agriculture. Okay? It was the art, and you've made trillions and trillions over hundreds of years and became the most powerful nation in the world from sucking the blood of black people from Africa. Okay?
Okay, yeah. B, I mean,
okay?
I think we get your point. I mean,
Every form of modern music in the last 100 years have been created by black people. Every 20 years, we come up with a new medium of expression through music.
It becomes the symbolism, the expression across the world, and who makes all the money off of it?
B, I get your point. I mean, you could probably rattle off.
Who owns,
you know,
all the distribution, and who owns the record companies? Who owns?
Go see the history. Go see the history of Motown.
Right.
It's pretty awful. I know.
Right.
It's pretty bad. I can't argue with you on that.
So D,
we
you,
can go round
no,
and round.
No, no,
B.
No,
I mean,
no.
I,
D was getting someplace.
What was he? Where? I can't.
And
we can't keep listening.
Them
I mean,
go.
Well,
I watched the.
I mean, we get it.
The president of the president was on yesterday. I saw him talk from BET.
Yeah,
BET the president.
Yeah,
he's putting a proposal out there to the politicians that he wants reparations. That's what's been talked about within the political community. It's been talked about with Dianne Feinstein. It's been talked by Nancy Pelosi. It's been talked by others. That's what he's talking about. So he was getting to it. He's getting through it the long way.
B was going there. That's
where
saying.
B, I
okay.
believe, is heading.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So before he was able to, I think eventually.
Well, I can't. I mean,
I got you. I understand. But I knew where he was going.
Okay.
So I'm here to tell you exactly how
he
wants to
finish. We can't just let him
keep
listing off examples. Yes, it's bad. Okay. We know it. We know the simple history of it. We might not be able to.
Well, it's a very simplistic history of what you just got there. I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. And, you know, who the East Dutch Indies Trading Company.
East Dutch Indies,
West
sure.
Dutch Indies Trading Company.
Venice was quite wealthy for many, many centuries.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, was it the kind of wealth that they experienced in the kind of prosperity coming out of the Dark Ages? No, probably not.
I think I was happy to help make Dee's point what he wanted to
finally get up to.
I see
what I didn't know that's what he was going with. Okay.
And I forget the name of the individual from BET Network, and I'm upset with myself.
I do not know off the top of my head. Steve is in Chicago. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. But I had a couple concerns. I'm going to hang up after I say my spiel.
Sure.
But first of all, when it comes down with the whole PR, as a black man, I don't want to hear anything that any of these companies are putting out on Instagram, Twitter, because your policies are the exact same. The policies are the exact same to follow the black man, the black woman inside the store. You're not hiring, as some folks say, these black CEOs and who are innovative with their strategies to promote the business. And, like, this thing that we're going through right now is something that my grandfather went through, my father went through, I'm experiencing. It's not going to change. My kids are going to probably experience it. But the issue that we're going to have is in 3 to 4 weeks from now, who's really going to still care as much as we're caring right now?
Mm.
You know, but as a black man who lives in Lincoln Park, Old Town in particular, you know, I drive my car, I get pulled over by the cops and thrown on the hood.
Has that ever really that's happened to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can send you guys a personal message to lead you to the link of this story. So, you know, my question is when we're still going through this stuff, who's going to be there to really still speak up? I'm seeing the blackout right now. I'm seeing people, these companies put up these PR blogs or spots, whatever you want to call them. But my question is, as I'm going to ask again, is are you guys as a media outlet, are you guys going to have this much strength in a month from now, in 2 months from now? Because that's what we need.
I mean, we'll be... The answer that you're not going to want to hear, Steve, is that, and thanks for the call, is that no, will we still be talking about this a month from now? We're a sports radio station. People don't like that we're talking about it now. There's no avoiding it right now. I'm sorry, people, for the vocal minority that is out there right now saying, I love it, get back to sports. There are no sports. I mean, we don't have any friggin' sports right now. Well, but we can't, you know, we can't. I'm sorry. This is not something that can be avoided right now on public airwaves. Go ahead, Merck. What were you going to say?
I would say the owners now want to play a 50 game.
Well, I did see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's going to hit 400. Watch.
Right.
That's
their counter.
A big asterisk
right.
next
That's
to
their counter proposal.
So you're going to need like 115 at bats to be a qualified hitter, right? I mean, that that all of a sudden you open up the possibility somebody's going to hit 400 for a season, York. Put a big asterisk next to it. No, but I mean, there's, you know, we're talking about it now. I mean, like, I get Steve's point. Will we be talking about this? Will we be fielding phone calls on this a month from now? No, probably not. We'll get back to what we do. hopefully sports are closer to being back and we've got more things to talk about. Maybe they will even be back a month from now. But I can't tell you that we'll be on these airwaves giving people the same opportunity the way we have, because we feel like it's an important time for everybody to go ahead and voice their displeasure, their feelings, whatever they may be. And I think we've done a good job of that the last couple of days, and it'll probably continue this week until all this quiets down. Maybe that's the hard part of truly changing, right, Steve? And I think that's what he was getting at, that the reason it's so slow to change is because it's easy for everybody to care in the moment, but when the dust settles, do people still care? And do they proactively search for answers, and do they proactively try to find answers and, you know, really, truly change the way things happen in this country? And I don't know what things will be like a month from now. 2020 has been crazy. Who the hell knows what's coming up next? Malik Andrews will join us coming up next. She wrote a little bit about the Knicks and their decision to not release a statement, and then release a statement explaining why they didn't release a statement. We can talk to her a little bit about, here's some sports for you, about the proposed NBA comeback, too. I guess this is going to a vote on Thursday. They're going to talk about this 22, you know, this sort of field of 22 and the resumption to a season down in Orlando. So we'll pick her brain on that, and we'll find out what she's hearing. And we got time for more of your phone calls, too, before we cross-talk in about 30 minutes with Waddle and Sylvie. But Malika Andrews will join us next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Having a lot of fun here today.
Oh, my God.
Carm.
Trying to keep it loose a little bit.
Trying
right?
to keep because it a little bit loose. It,
tensions are running so
in,
high.
In situations where, you know, it's hard to be loose, you know?
We love Malik Andrews. She's great. She's really plugged in to the NBA. She wrote about, we talk a few things here about maybe the return of the league, but also some of the stuff with the Knicks. She joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Malika, how are you?
Oh, man, gentlemen, it's been an exhausting week.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It has been a heavy, exhausting week, but, you know, so it goes.
What? It's just getting started. It's only Tuesday.
I know, right? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, Super Tuesday. Here we are.
What? Let's start with the Knicks. And you were writing about this last night a little bit. You know, they didn't release a statement, then they had to release a statement explaining why they didn't release a statement. They've actually have some support in saying, do we really need just another vapid PR statement that is kind of hollow? I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I mean, every other team did release something. Were the Knicks wrong to initially just sort of pretend like this wasn't happening, I guess?
Look, I'm not here to pass judgment on whether or not the Knicks should or shouldn't issue a statement in light of the protests that's happening around the world, but I will just point out some facts. The fact is that the Knicks, as of last night, were one of two teams to not release a public statement. In their internal memo, which ESPN obtained a copy of, they said that they felt that they couldn't or shouldn't speak out. They didn't have any more responsibility to speak out than any other person. And while that may be fine to some people, it was titled, that email was titled A Message from Jim Dolan, you're seeing that one of their players, Dennis Smith Jr., was out protesting in the streets. You also see that Jim Dolan feels comfortable sending a message saying he can't the Knicks, and as a sports and communications company, he doesn't feel comfortable sending out a message. But the other fact is, in his band, he released lyrics about Trayvon Martin. The other fact is, we did a Q&A on ESPN talking to him about why he endorses Donald Trump. And so those are the other facts that kind of put in a complete picture of what's happening here. And against that backdrop, I'm going to leave it up to Knicks fans, to basketball fans, to decide what they make of that. But those are the facts that kind of lead up to the statement. And I will tell you that a lot of people within the Knicks organization, within the Madison Square Garden organization as a whole, are really frustrated with that stance, especially considering right now there are a lot of people hoping that this is going to be a time for change.
Yeah, and I mean, does it run the risk of alienating a lot of his players too, like Dennis Smith Jr. and others? I mean, I guess that's the other part of it, you know, what has the reaction been like within that organization? And it sounds like it's not good, right?
Right. I mean, it's kind of this we've had this discussion again and again about the term owner, and when the majority of the people that fall under that ownership are Black people, and that owner does not stand up when Black people are being attacked and being murdered, then for a lot of those people, it becomes a problem. It becomes something that they have to look at. And so that's sort of what the Knicks are dealing with today.
I mean, the Knicks have enough problems to begin with, too, right? I mean, he's kind of a PR nightmare, isn't he?
Every time that Dolan puts out a statement, there seems to be something that probably could have been done better.
Yeah.
Every single time he puts out a statement, or in this case, didn't put out a statement, circulated an internal statement, there seems to be something that another team, another company did a little bit better or did with a little bit more care.
Who was the other team, by the way, that did not release a statement?
Well, as of last night, it was the San Antonio Spurs, but also, you know, you had Greg Popovich, you know, making some very strong statements in the nation. You have Lonnie Walker going to clean up his city. I mean, there's kind of a lot of things going on with the Spurs. It's just that they're official. They didn't send out an official statement from the team.
And Malik Andrews is our guest from ESPN.com. Is the league upset with that, you think?
You know, I think what the league has been very good at has been individually empowering players and teams to decide how they want to take a stand. We saw that when the league decided to wear "I Can't Breathe" shirts with discussions around kneeling and Colin Kaepernick. Adam Silver has really taken the stance of "I'm going to leave it up to the individual teams," but Adam Silver has also taken the stance of "We are a league that is majority Black players, and we need to support those people." And so at times, it seems like right now is one of those times where the message that Dolan feels and the message that the NBA is sending are in conflict.
What is the return of the season going to look like, Malika?
Bumpy. The return of the season is going to look bumpy. I think it's going to be something that's welcome for a lot of people because people are really missing sports right now. A lot of people are still, you know, in the backdrop of all of this, gentlemen, as you know, is still the coronavirus pandemic is going on and people are sitting in their homes wanting to watch live sports. And so when the league votes on what a return to action is going to look like, which we expect to happen at the end of this week, there's going to still be a lot of bumps to iron out in terms of do teams go back to their own individual cities with various levels of that are in various phases of reopening to do their training camps, or do they go to a bubble site like the bubble site that's proposed in Orlando and do the entire training camp there? Because these guys, remember, they haven't been on a basketball court in a long time. And Wendell Carter Jr. told me the other day, you know, the only thing that keeps you in basketball shape is playing basketball. We can lift all the weights you want at home. You can run on the treadmill. You can follow what the dietitians are telling you. And until you're playing 5-on-5 basketball, there's just nothing that can get you ready for it. And so they're going to need some time to work out those kinks in order to be able to put a good product on the floor, because it's going to be playoff time very quickly after the season resumes.
Is it going to be most likely this 22-team restart? Is that the one that's going to...
That doesn't include the Bulls!
Thank goodness.
Oh.
Is that going to be the one that passes?
I can tell you guys are really bummed about that. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of momentum building towards, certainly at least not the full 30 teams returning. But one thing I can say for sure is I can't take another proposal. I don't know about you gentlemen, let's just decide, is it going to be 22 teams? Is it going to be 20? Is it just going to be the 16 playoff teams? And then go from there, because the 30, 22, 20, there's just so many options on the table right now. But it seems that they have nearly ruled out that all 30 teams will be coming back. What's much more likely is somewhere in that 16, 20, or 22 range, and 22 is looking pretty likely. Yeah.
Malika, I see the NASCAR is starting to allow fans later on this month. I think they're going to allow fans into some of their races. I don't know what the percentage is right now, what they're talking about. Is one of the reasons the NBA and maybe the NHL are dragging their feet a little bit to get back in there, is they're hoping at some point they could put some fans inside these stadiums?
I don't think this season that that's even something that they're considering. No, I have heard that as they look towards next season and when next season would start, if that season starts later in the year, say that if it starts in December, for example, then that would give them a better chance of having a larger percentage of games with fans in attendance. But no, I would say that the NBA is not looking to emulate NASCAR in having fans rush back into their stadiums, especially also because, remember, it's indoors, and we're learning a lot about the way this virus operates inside versus outside. Yeah. and how it carries and what that means.
It's always nice to talk to you, Malika. Be well. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay safe, gentlemen.
All right. We'll talk to you later. That's Malik Andrews from ESPN.com. I want to read Jonathan Taves' Instagram post yesterday. He wrote this because he had seen a video or two black men arguing with one another about sort of how they should or shouldn't be acting
right
in the particular moment. It was pretty heated for a second. And Taves, he wrote this. This is from Jonathan Taves. A lot of people may claim these riots and acts of destruction are a terrible response. I'll be the first to admit that as a white male, that was my first reaction. But who am I to tell someone that their pain is not real, especially when it is at a boiling point and it's impossible to hold in anymore? It's obviously coming from a place of truth. This reaction isn't coming out of thin air. I'm not condoning or approving the looting, but are we really going to sit here and say that peaceful protest is the only answer? There's been plenty of time for that. And if that was the answer, we would have given it our full attention long ago. Listen to these two men debate. They're lost. They're in pain. They strive for a better future, but as they get older, they realize their efforts may be futile. They don't know the answers or how to solve this problem for the next generation of black men and women. This breaks my heart. I can't pretend for a second that I know what it feels like to walk in a black man's shoes. However, seeing the video of George Floyd's death and the violent reaction across the country moved me to tears. It pushed me to think, how much pain are black people and other minorities really feeling? What have Native American people dealt with in both Canada and the United States? What is it really like to grow up in their world? Comparison to me is at least trying to feel and understand what someone else is going through. For just a moment, maybe I can try to see the world through their eyes. COVID has been rough, but it has given us the opportunity to be much less preoccupied with our busy lives. We can no longer distract ourselves from the truth of what is going on. My message isn't for black people and what they should do going forward. My message is to white people to open up our eyes and our hearts. That's the only choice we have. Otherwise, this will continue. Let's choose to fight hate, fear, with love and awareness. Ask not what you can do for me, but what I can do for you. Little play on JFK there. Be the one to make the first move. In the end, love conquers all. That is from Jonathan Taves on Instagram yesterday, a post that was viewed and liked many, many thousands of times. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls coming up, and then at 2 o'clock, we'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's say hi to Valancourt in the South Loop on ESPN 1000. Hey, Valancourt.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Okay, man. How are you?
Good.
I'd like to ask you guys a question right quick, man. I'll make it fast. Do you guys think that the NFL owners should apologize to Colin Kaepernick for the way they treated him? They destroyed this man's future in the NFL, and because he tried to do it in a peaceful way, man. He protested in a peaceful way my brothers and sisters are getting brutalized on a daily basis, man. They're getting brutalized by things we don't really see and know about. But anyway.
Valancourt, I've been, you know, Yurko's explaining it. Thanks for the call, as always, buddy.
I'd say yes, that they owe him one.
Absolutely.
But the NFL apologizes in cash settlements where they don't admit to any wrongdoing.
Yurko's explaining, like, what happens when people
try to take on
that monolith. Yeah, it doesn't usually end well for them. I think it's terrible the way he was sort of portrayed. And you know, how he was kind of blackballed, I think. Now, ultimately, you might say, well, hey, he didn't have to take that settlement. He could have continued to fight it. I don't like the way forced him out.
Colin Kaepernick was probably intelligent to take whatever settlement he ended up
getting. He probably was.
At some point, you realize whatever you're going to fight.
I get you.
Okay? You got to cut bait at some time and just say, okay, it is what it is. And then he's still going about the business of doing what he wants to
do. And he tries to do good. I mean, I think he means well. I do. I don't like the way that whole that was kind of a sideshow last year, the way that thing played out. I mean, I don't like the way that all happened. But I think he means well.
Well, that happened 3 years ago, right?
No, it was last year, wasn't it?
No, the Kaepernick situation.
The tryout,
2016.
Remember?
Oh, last year?
The tryout.
Yeah, just recently happened.
Yes. The tryout was last year, and that was kind of a circus. I mean, it was. And I don't know that he handled that particularly well. But I don't think Colin Kaepernick has a lot of evil or hate in his heart. I think he's tried to do good. I think he found a way to peacefully protest something that got people's attention because he truly believed in it. And you see what a rampant problem it is with phones and cameras everywhere now. I mean, I think that's all that he was trying to do. And so I'd agree with Valancourt. I'd agree with Yurko. Yeah, they do. But they apologize in the form of a cash settlement, like Yurko said, which means don't ever come back. You're done now.
Which also means we'll never admit that we were wrong.
Yeah.
That's part of the process with the NFL.
Yeah. Kevin, should we deviate from all the craziness? And actually, Kevin's just got a call that wants to ask us a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Should we just lighten the load for a minute? What do you think, Merck? Lighten the mood for a minute? Oh, and then we've got the winner for your golf with Yurko contest.
With Johnny Handsome.
Yeah, that prop swap.
Down at Sandy Pines.
Yeah. So we'll pull that name here in a minute. I guess Travis from our promotions department just pulled the name. We'll read it off here in a minute. Kevin is in Wheeling on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I wanted to thank you guys for taking the time out to actually engage and talk about this, but I thought I'd lighten the mood a little bit. Question for each of you. For Carm, for us beer drinkers that are kind of getting into whiskey and bourbon to wash the calories, where do you fall on watering down the whiskey a little bit, maybe a couple drops? Is that anti-purist? What do you think?
No, if it's a couple of drops, listen, you do you. Don't worry about it, Kevin. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. A couple of drops is actually probably a good idea. Now, would I put, a couple of ounces of water in? No, yeah. Personally, I would not. But sometimes just a couple of drops is actually a good thing because it helps open up the whiskey. So you don't be ashamed to do that at all, right, buddy?
All right, sounds good. And Yurk, I was following the Instagram post, and that Pebble Beach course looked beautiful. I saw the good kid just puts the tee down, puts the ball down, and lets it rip. And I'm actually playing a foursome with a couple of buddies on Saturday, but two of them notoriously take forever. So where do you land on that? What's the appropriate amount of time?
Quick golf is good golf.
Do you play ready golf?
I play ready golf. I like ready there's golf. No honor, so yeah. you got a par.
Ready
no.
golf. Yeah.
If you're ready to go to the tee, tee it up and let's go. Let's start dancing. Let's have a good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kevin, have fun golfing. Thanks for calling, buddy. Yeah, ready golf is fine with us.
It's
yeah.
ready golf.
Putt with the pin in. Go ahead. Play fast.
I've played with guys that play like molasses, and you find over the course of time you don't play with them a lot.
Yeah, my dad's pretty methodical.
Is
he's,
he?
He's yeah. slow, yeah. Me and my brothers always give him a hard time.
And it's
too.
Okay like, to have like a swing, like a routine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you don't want to be like Sergio.
Yeah. Too many waggles.
My dad takes his sweet time. Well, he's 71, I guess. He's like, forget it. Where am I going? Yeah, but me and my brothers are always giving him a hard time.
Carm, I got to throw a shout out real quick. Alex and Kevin. Kevin's getting married. They were going to go do a bachelor party. They're going to Louisville. Everything was great. The pandemic came around. Bourbon tour. God. The whole thing.
It's been great.
Kevin McCormick, I believe, is the guy that's getting married. And Alex Polstis. They had me on Saturday on a virtual Zoom bachelor party. And I got on with those guys, and they asked for marital advice. I gave them five keys to a marriage. And
so instead of dancer, they had Yurko.
Yeah.
Yurko's five keys.
But they had everything. They had cameo appearances by Blagojevich. I stuck around for two hours. Yeah. I stuck around, became one of the guys, for 2 hours I was there.
This is priceless.
Blagojevich was there. They did have a cameo appearance of a young lady that happened to show us one of them, which we certainly did appreciate.
Of course.
And there were other, Greg Bragg, Fossil Man, not Bragg, Greg something or another, Fossil Man, 2004 World Series of Poker Champion.
Oh, I thought you meant our Greg
Bragg. Not Greg Bragg. I got the wrong name. Greg something or another. Raymer. Greg Raymer.
Greg Raymer, yeah.
So he was on there, and it was fun. It was a good time. And then I ended up drinking about eight beers in an hour when we were doing all the songs from when them guys were going to college.
How did they find you? They just reached out to you?
Alex reached out to me via the the interweb or via
social
email
or
something like that. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I got hammered up with those guys.
Yurko's five keys to marriage. I would love to hear that.
Five keys to marriage.
Five keys.
Never go to bed angry, right? Never go to bed angry. And then there are a couple that were bad.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so I can't say it on the air, but It was, you know, and we're betting on horse races, 9, 10, 11 at Churchill Downs.
Nice.
They had it up there. It was pretty good stuff.
Hey, wait,
virtual Zoom bachelor party.
When life, what do they say, Yurk? When life hands you lemons, make lemonade, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah. Yurko?
That's what sounds like. That's what these guys
they
did.
They did, man. They adjusted and they overcame. So it was kind of a nice thing. There was like 33 guys on the
wow
thing. It's nice. A good group. Good group of guys.
And there's the wedding's still going to happen?
Oh, the wedding's happening. Yeah, okay. They're going to have a reception next year.
Okay.
They're sounds still good. Getting married now.
And they'll just do
and the they're recepting next year.
I bet you a lot of people have to do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they'll be well, the kid across the street canceled his.
Man.
Tony Zamparelli, Anthony Zamp, Tony's kid.
Nice little paisan.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's Italian. Yeah. And the
they didn't cancel it. They
the mom's
it.
Maiden name's Piacenti.
Whoa,
from the hill over at Chicago Heights.
Sure.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You know what that means, Carb? Huh?
So they didn't.
Huh, Carb? Yeah. You know what that means? Yeah. They Chicago Heights Italian.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Uh huh.
They didn't cancel the wedding. They postponed it.
Yeah, they postponed theirs till next year.
Can,
yes.
Can I announce the winner of Yurko's?
Yes,
golf
please.
Why don't you go ahead and do something today? How about 1 ounce of productivity out of you today? Asking for much.
From Montgomery, Illinois.
From Montgomery.
Nice.
Ryan Boyd.
Ryan Boyd. Out of Montgomery.
We'll be playing with Yurko. He'll bring a guest, and Luke Pergandy will be playing.
From Prop Swap.
So me, it's going to be Yurko, Luke,
Ryan.
And it's going to be Ryan and his buddy.
At Sandy Pines.
At Sandy Pines. Now I got to look where Montgomery, Illinois is to see what kind of ride he's going to have.
Montgomery's up by the border, isn't it?
Or no, I didn't know that. He's got one hell of a ride then.
Actually, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Montgomery, Illinois.
Montgomery, Illinois. Oh, Oswego, kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's out west.
Aurora.
Yeah.
South of Aurora. North of Oswego. Yeah, it'll be a short little ride.
Tiny little hamlet.
Yeah.
An area of 9 square miles.
We could meet in between and go to Heritage Bluffs and beautiful Shanahan.
That's a great course.
I don't know if you've played it, Shanahan, but I think you guys are going to foursomes nowadays.
Yes,
two
this
in
weekend.
A cart, right?
This weekend we can go to foursomes.
You got four going out? You, Dad, Lou, the two brothers?
We might golf on Father's Day. We got to see. Yeah, but we're also going to try to see the family.
Giuseppe and Luigi?
No, not
the
quite.
Two brothers?
Crosstalk coming up next. We will say hi to Waddle and Sylvie. We're back in 2 minutes.